me.
Othello on the beat.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Jay Wright, the Frustrated Black Christian Podcast, episode number 8. I'm so excited about this episode. I got my brothers with me. I have 2 of my brothers here, my brother Alden and my brother Sheldon. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, man?
All right, today's going to be a great episode. As you know, if you don't know, now you will know that Father's Day is this Sunday coming up, and I want to have a conversation with black fathers, with fathers, period. It doesn't matter if you're black or what race you are. Being a father matters. And that's what the name of this episode is entitled, Fatherhood Matters. So I got 2 guys that I know that are great fathers. And we just want to have this conversation. I am a father as well. And I just want to have this conversation with them about their journey through fatherhood, the lessons they've learned, the good, the bad, the ugly, and how they are shaping the future for their family. So let's start off with how many kids do you guys have, and give me their ages and names.
All right. So I have 2 children. Aaliyah is my oldest and Elijah is my youngest. Aaliyah is 9. She's going to be going to the 4th grade. And Elijah is 6, and he's going to be going to the 1st grade.
This is her.
I have 4 girls.
Dang!
My God.
I got 4 girls. Brinley, Allison, Camille, and Dallas. Brinley is the oldest. She's 5. Allison is 4. Camille will be 2 next month, and Dallas is 7 months. For right now, Brinley and Allison are the only 2 that go to school. So Brinley will be going to kindergarten, and Allison will be at PK4.
Okay.
And I need to call you AR, automatic rifle.
You don't know. My nickname with the fellas is Shooter McGavin. All right.
See, here we go. We're always going off the rails.
Sheldon has surpassed me, so he is AR-15.
Yes, sir.
Don't let him stare at Shonda too long and she'll get pregnant. Anyways, I'm going to shout out my girls. My girls are Venturi, Harmony, and Riley. Venturi is 7 years old, Riley is 2 years old, and Harmony is 5 years old. And I am very proud of my girls, and I thank God for them and who they are in my life, and they're doing well in school as well. So, Alden, being a father for how many years?
9.
Sheldon, being a father for how many years?
5.
And I've been a father for 7 years. What is one of the biggest lessons that you guys have learned being a father? How has fatherhood changed you? How has being a father changed you?
Yeah, you go first.
Well, I think for me,
hold your mic up.
I think for me, I've learned as a father, I gotta be more patient with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much, I got to be understanding, too, because there's some things that they do, and I'm like, why you did that? And then I realize, hey, you did it. They following pretty much in your same footsteps.
Right.
So I'm learning to be patient with them, like, you know, like help them to understand, like, you know, some things that you're doing, you can't do that. Like you gotta just be patient with them.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I'm learning.
Patience is your biggest adjustment that you had to make. What about you, Alvin?
I would say being the parent, I wish my kids was little again. because I mean, I can't say that I really had, you know, they didn't jump out of a two-story window like
thank,
I did.
Thank God.
And they're both really chill kids, which is almost scary because I'm afraid of their teenage years that they're going to come back with a vengeance. So, you know, it's kind of like I want them to, I used to love when they was kids. They were just like, they the greatest little people. Like, Elijah was crybaby, but, you know, Leah was, she was just the perfect little baby ever in life. I mean, my only thing that I would say is, you know, y'all in a different situation than I am. So I would say, you know, be with the one that you want to be with before you do what you do. And so make sure you with the one who you want to be with.
So trying to figure out how to nice with it to sum all of that up.
The kids are great.
Kids are great.
Mama.
Sometimes.
A little shaky.
All right. So, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with this part of it, but we'll dive into that a little bit more. I'll probably say my biggest takeaway of how I had to adjust with having kids was just they have made me more humble. I had to humble myself and realize that it was not about me anymore. It wasn't even about Akeisha anymore. It was about, you know, those children that you brought into this world that you conceive. I used to mess with my parents and used to tell them when I used to be in my teenage years and I was in my 20s and I used to ask them for something. And if they told me no, and I was like, I didn't ask to be here. I came on y'all pleasure trip. She was like, you're a grown man. I ain't gonna say the word she used, but she was like, boy, you're a grown man. Anyways, you know, mama, you know, mama. Anyways, but yeah, I would say that, you know, it has humbled me to realize that it's not about me anymore. It's about those little ones. And man, you said something, Alden, that was just so true, because Tori and Harmony are growing up. All of them are growing up, mm-hmm. of course, but Riley is still that little one. They are back to back. Tori is 7, Harmony will be 6 in November, but Riley came 4 years later. Mm-hmm. Harmony was born in 15, Riley was born in 19, so that's a 4-year gap. And then to have that little one just running around, it's just, man, it's like, I tell Keisha and I even tell Riley, man, I don't want you to grow up. I just love you the way that you are, because you always want that little kid running around, but you understand that, you know, of course you want your kids to progress and grow and stuff like that. But just that little, having that little one around is so much fun. And I don't know whether we are retired. Some days we say we won't have another child. And the next time we talk about we done. And I just told Sheldon yesterday that I had my tubes tied because how they stressed me out.
How?
I can't talk about it here now.
Okay.
But I got a it's a song that shows you how to tie your tubes as a man. And if you want to know how to tie your tubes as a man, DM me or give me an email and I'll send the lyrics over to you. And it's not even a dirty song.
No, it's not.
It's not a dirty song. But it gives you step by step instructions on how to tie your tubes as a man. All right, but
just say you don't want to sink it no more. You don't want to sink it no more with your kid.
That's how you hear your kids. Keisha said that yesterday. She was like, I would never look at that song ever the same again.
Stop popping your kids for singing that song.
I ain't singing that song again. Oh, man. I'm saying that all in fun, but some days you want to say, okay, want to have another one. Then the next day was like, you know, we satisfied with the 3. So I don't know if we're officially done with the children, but the 3 that we have are just beautiful, man. And it's not about, like I said, it's not about you anymore. It's about making sure that they have a legacy are a future in front of them, that you lay out the legacy so that they have a future moving forward in life. And the Bible tells us that, and y'all know we quote the Bible around here in Proverbs, that a good man leaves a legacy basically behind for his children's children. So we realize that it ain't even about us. Our focus should be on our children's children, to make sure that they have an education, to make sure that they have a lifestyle, the life we desire for them to have. It might not be this dream life or whatever like that, but it should be a better life than you had.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess what my question would be for y'all is give me a time where you really felt like you slipped up as a father. Not saying y'all made a big mistake, but it's like something that you like had to, a lesson you had to learn from fatherhood.
Okay, I'll go first. I would say, like I said earlier, y'all's situation different than mine. So my slip up was trying to manage fatherhood and relationship. And also not blurring the lines with fatherhood, parenthood, and relationship.
That's good.
So what I mean by that is, you know, you desire to have a co-parenting relationship when you're not with a person, you know, so you desire to have a co-parenting relationship, and you know, sometimes it goes great and sometimes it's a little bit rocky, especially when, you know, you decide that you desire to be with another person.
Right.
And so it really gets difficult. So the part where you slip up as a parent is when y'all have a good co-parenting relationship, but once they find out, you know, you doing something else.
Yeah.
They kind of use the kids as a crutch, or as a way to manipulate the situation,
right,
do what they
right.
do what you want or what they want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of realizing that, you kind of just say, I'll choose the relationship over parenthood, which if you learn over time, which I've learned over time, you have to learn how to make, that's a balancing act, because that person that you're going to be with got to understand that, well, before you was here,
right,
this was already established, not the relationship with the, not the, you know, not trying to be with the mama, but handling the children.
Right.
And so that has to be clear and concise, and y'all have to be able to work through that in order for it to work out. And it's been a journey, and I think it gets better every day. And sometimes it seems like the Titanic is about to sink, but you know, it's still rocking. And then my kids are old enough to where, you know, we can talk on the phone. If something's wrong, they can say for themselves. It don't have to be, you know, a manipulative thing where, you know, the other parent has to, you know, try to use them either against me or to get me to do a certain thing.
Right.
And so.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a big a lesson that a lot of fathers who are not in a relationship with the mother of their children, they have to learn. Mm-hmm. That you have to make communication in any relationship is key.
True.
If you don't have clear communication, things can get smeared, things can get ugly, and assumptions can be built. And you know the saying about assumptions, it makes a behind out of you and me.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of behind situations because we don't make things clear. So I'm really glad that you gave that that advice and that lesson that you've learned. And it's not even with if you're not in a relationship with the person you had a child with, but even in your marriage and your other relationship, Sheldon and I can attest that, you know, that communication is still key with parenting. Right. Go ahead, Sheldon.
No, I'm just, you know, you said the slip up, right? The question was about slipping up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, like you just said, like about communication, just making sure that you both have that understanding of each other as parents, and you know, making sure that the kids have everything that they need. And I think that would be my biggest my biggest one, because I try to make sure the girls have everything that they need. And I know for me, if I come up short, you know, I feel like I let them down.
Right.
I feel like I didn't do that what, you know, that I'm supposed to do. So mm-hmm. that is my biggest one. Whenever I get a task to do whatever and I'm not able to meet that goal, you know, that's like my biggest one. So
yeah, and we all have that as fathers, yeah. Where you don't, you know, I know, speaking for the three of us, that you always going to give your kids the thing that they need, but it's right. That sometimes that want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to give them the world, man. Right. You want to give them whatever their hearts desire, but in a way it's like you have to teach them as you give them the things that they want, that life don't always avail yourself to give. That sometimes my girls ask me for stuff and I might not have the money at that time. And, you know, I feel bad. I feel horrible about it or whatever like that. But I have to turn that into a lesson to let them know, hey, sometimes in life, you're not going to get what you want when you want it.
Right.
But if you work at it, you can eventually get it. So it's important for us to, especially with them girls, man, them girls.
They have your heart, man.
Boy.
Man.
Venturi.
You got four of them. You got three of them.
Jesus Christ.
I got one. It's hard to deal with that.
Man, Venturi, man, she know how to play me. She, yeah. Tori has learned the game of playing. I mean, like Harmony, she's in the midst of learning it, but Tori has learned it and she applies it because she know she got influence. As a matter of fact, all of them got me like that, man.
And that's how it is with Camille and Dallas, the two youngest ones, they haven't fully did anything because they still babies, but Allison is learning too, but Brinley, like since day one, like straight up, like we would go to me and her, we'll go to Toys R Us, Babies R Us, almost every week, like just buying stuff, you know, buy a little stuff for her. And even now, like she say, "Daddy, can I get some cookies?" Like, "No, you don't need no cookies." And then all of a sudden, I end up getting her some cookies, getting her favorite stuff,
yeah,
little snacks,
yeah.
It's just they get to you.
That first one have your heart, yeah. Man. That first one, you got Leah, and she, I know she got your heart. That Venturi, that's my heart, and I love all my girls, but that first one just know how to just pull your heartstrings along and get what they want out the situation.
Y'all enjoy the cookies. Wait till they start talking about J's. My baby know numbers. She know numbers.
Yeah.
Little baby asked for the fives. I think the 11s come out in December. I know they come out in December. Why do you know that? Listen, man.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother level.
Tori's into the dresses. "Daddy, can you go get me a pretty dress? I need a pretty dress," or whatever. So it's like anytime she asks for a dress, okay, well, and when next time we go to the store, I got to go look for her dress. So Lord help us when she get to the expensive shoes and stuff like that. But like I said, they know how to play you, man. They know how to get to you. They got your heart, man. And you wouldn't want to have it any other way. You know, you glad that they got your heart like that. And I was like, man, they even know how to deal. When they want something, they know not to go to their mama.
Yeah.
Tori and Harmony know not to go on Keisha's side of the bed when asking for something. They come directly to my side of the bed. "Daddy, can I have this? Can I have that?" So they know 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say yeah. But then it's that times when I know I got to say no, I be like, "Go ask your mama." Keisha be like, "Nope. You know, blah, 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 blah. Y'all don't need this." And going and snapping or whatever like that. So it's like, go ask your mama or whatever. So. But they know that they can get whatever they want. They ask their daddy. But man, I'm just really proud of the fathers that we are, that we're becoming, because we're growing each and every day, as they grow older. And I think the main reason why we're good fathers is because we came from good fathers, great fathers.
Yeah.
Me and Sheldon, we're brothers. So our pops is Johnny Mack Wright Sr., great man. And then Alden, who his father, who's not with us anymore, but he is with us, because Alden, his name might as well have been Anthony Bernard James Jr. He is an exact replica in his thought patterns and how he carries himself, like his father, who was our uncle, and he was a father figure in our lives. So I'm going to ask you guys, what was one of the biggest lessons or biggest takeaways that you have gotten from your father that you apply to your life with as being a father now?
Ooh. You can go first, bro, if you got one.
I think one of my biggest lessons, and I think about this like a lot, like the sacrifice that dad made.
Right.
Yeah, that's
the biggest. That's like, man, I thought about actually today how my dad always used to say to us, and he still say this to us even now. He's like, you know, if I have, you have.
Right.
Or if I eat ramen noodles, guess what? We all gonna eat ramen noodles. Or if we eat steak, we all gonna eat steak. Like he would let us know, hey, we a family, we're gonna be a family together.
Right.
And so that's one thing I try to instill in my kids too. Like, hey, that's your sister.
That's your sister.
Anyways,
you get a sister. We all get sisters,
you know. But you know, we all look out for each other. We all got to make that sacrifice, and we all got to work together as a family. Like, you know, that's what I want to instill in my girls. Like, just, you know, sacrifice your time, sacrifice whatever you have, you know, just try to make the other person happy. Like, just sacrifice. That's what, like, one of my biggest thing that my dad really taught me is sacrifice.
Yeah.
Let's see. I would probably say his work ethic was insane.
Yeah.
I literally will watch him work literally all day. Come home, I'm a kid, and then I'd be like, Dad, I want to go play basketball. And we go play basketball. Mm. It'd be dark outside, the lights, the basketball lights on, the court lights on. We out there playing basketball. And so it was just like his work ethic, but still, he going to make sure that he see about the family. Like,
right.
And it's just, I try my best to emulate him in the fact that, because I mean, what I seen him do some days is you just won't be outdone. But I just try my best to, and the crazy thing is the place that I currently work is the place that he worked.
Yeah.
And yeah. So many people remember him. He retired in 2005. This is 16 years later. I work in this building and people still remember him like he just retired yesterday. And so it just shows the work ethic that he had. And I would say his work ethic was definitely one of the things that I loved about him.
Yeah, I would definitely say that I agree with both of y'all. Our fathers were some of the hardest working men that you ever want to come in contact with. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one time, when we were kids, Pops had three jobs.
Mm-hmm.
He worked, had a part of one full-time job and two part-time jobs. I know him by heart. FEC, TMT, working at the port. And then he had another job working for a grill. The name was Grill Trucking. So he had three jobs at one time, to provide for his family. And man, that work ethic, man, is something that, and I remember not only where it was Uncle Tony working, but he'll come home and cook and clean. He, like I said, you are the exact replica of this man. Like, you know, you work, you come home, cook, and you clean at the same time. And it's just like awesome things that we've learned along the way from these great men. And not only did God bless us with fathers, but he surrounded us with great father figures, those older men, like, you know, like the Bishop Olivers, like the Bishop James, like the, you know, our grandfather, you know, grandfathers and uncles and stuff like that. God has surrounded us around with some great men who have made a impact in our lives. And, you know, it's just for us to want to carry on that legacy of, you know, what they taught us and what they how they trained us to be. So, man, you know, we are really in a good spot. We are really blessed. We don't have the testimonies of how others have had. God has blessed us to come up in a two-parent household for a majority of our lives. And for all of our childhood, we came up in a two-parent home household, and that's big or whatever like that. And not only were our fathers there physically, they were there present for us as we grew up into men or whatever like that. Because, you know, there was a lot of times when my dad was on the road, like I said, three jobs. You know, I remember him coming home as a kid, eating. He'll play with us and joke for a little bit, but he'll go to sleep so he can get back up and go to work. Mm-hmm. And as I was growing in my teenage years, he got into an accident where he wasn't able to work as much as he once was. And now that I look back, it sounds weird, but I thank God that he had that moment in time where he was able to actually be that father and instill those lessons into us growing up. It wasn't always pretty. It wasn't always Dr. Huxtable or whatever like that. Right. It wasn't always perfect or whatever like that. Dr. Huxtable ain't perfect anyways. But, but you know, my pops wasn't a perfect man, but he was the perfect man for me or whatever like that. So it's like, man, those lessons that he's instilled in us growing in our teenage years was so important to help make and mold us into the men that we are today. And, you know, as fathers, we have to learn and understand the importance of positioning your family for success. And one way is not always monetary, because we got a lot of fathers out here that make money and they provide for their kids, but their kids are off the rails, off doing God knows what. So it's important to have those moments where you're teaching them, and not only teaching them, but being that example, stopping those generational curses that are in your life that have prevailed for generations on generations on generations. Like, I think about my dad and the generational curse of being a one woman man. That my granddaddy was a player, my uncles was players, my daddy was a player at one time too, but my dad made up in his mind that I'm gonna commit to this woman because I'm committed to God first. I'm going to commit to this one woman, and I'm going to stop the generation of curse. And because he stopped the generation of curse, I'm going to say it like this. He left an example for us to follow after, that we can break the curse too. Because sometimes you can break the curse, but your children have the choice whether they want to pick that curse right back up and carry on. Because my brother, he was a player too, or whatever like that. Not Sheldon, he's faithful to Shonda. And he loves Shonda only. And Shonda, please don't ever think that he will ever move on to another woman. It's you and you only. He only got eyes for you. Please don't hurt him. Please don't beat my brother no more. Amen. And I just,
please don't hit me.
I'm sorry, babe.
I'm sorry.
I ain't say nothing. Nah, but we had that choice or whatever like that too, whether we were going to, you know, pick up that generational curse. And because my father left that example, I was able to choose to God, please don't think I'm saying I've been a perfect man to Keisha. God knows I have. There's been some things that I've done that lady should have left me a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is my commitment to God made me faithful to her. And that's because my father set that example too.
Right.
So those generational curses are so important for us to not only stop them, but talk about them too.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we're afraid to talk about the things that we have been through.
I think about that story. I think you told me one time before, or you mentioned it in your sermon, where it was two guys that was living, you know, they was raised up in the household, and the father was a bad guy. You know, he was drinking and, you know, living a bad life. And when both of the guys grew up, the sons grew up, one of them became successful and the other one became followed in his father's footsteps. And pretty much at the end, they asked the question, how did you become so successful? He was like, well, because I decided not to follow in my father's footsteps.
Right.
And then they asked the other guy, why are you not successful? He said, because he followed in his father's footsteps.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, like you said, there's a choice you got to make, you know, whether you're going to be successful, you're going to make the right decision, or you're going to make the wrong decision. And you got to make sure that, you know, that you are making right decisions. And, you know, because somebody, whether it's your kids, your spirit, your natural kids, it's somebody, there's a child like this really looking towards you. Mm-hmm. And so you got to make sure you make the right choices.
That's good.
That's true.
That's good. And I think that, like you said, we have to be able to talk about it, because the truth is you're going to be an example, whether you're a good example, whether you're a bad example. Just like you said, one son turned out better than the other one because he chose not to follow in his father's footsteps. And I think a lot of us, especially in our community, I mean, I'm going to talk about it. We're going to be open and honest about it. In our community, we use the excuse, well, my daddy did it too.
Right.
We abandon our kids because our fathers abandoned us too.
Yeah.
We mistreat our women because our father mistreated the women too. We make all these excuses because our fathers did it when we don't realize or recognize or don't want to recognize mm-hmm. that we have a choice not to do what they did. That's what I said a couple of Sundays ago. I was like, if you saw what abuse did to you, why mm-hmm. would you do it to somebody else?
Right, right.
And
mm-hmm.
we just use that as an excuse of why we do what we do.
Yeah. I just think with that, with the Black community, us Black men have a hard time accepting criticism.
Right.
And when I say criticism, it's just, you know, if another man come to you and say, hey, bro, I think you should go about it this way. You don't have to hit on a woman. You don't have to, you know, hit on this and, you know, knock your girl upside the head and cuss out your kids. It's some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen, you know, just watching men handle these kids, especially the young boys,
right.
You know, how they handle these young boys and, you know, cuss at them and stuff like that. It's just so dehumanizing. I think, you know, if they really took the time to say, okay, if somebody talked to me like that on a job, would I take that? I've been accustomed. Exactly. How you think your son feel?
Right.
How you think your daughter feel? How you think your lady feel? You don't have to talk to people that way. There's right. ways to talk, ways to communicate. Like we've been saying, communication is key. There's ways to communicate that you can get your point across without coming off as a jerk, as egotistical, and as somebody that other people don't want to be around. But it's a lot of these guys, they don't like to accept that criticism and that correction that come along with that. So,
I mean, and what you're saying, brother, is basically, that's Bible, man.
Yeah.
God places that order through Paul in Ephesians. As fathers, that we should not provoke our children to wrath. Right. Mm-hmm. That tells me that we got the ability to pull some anger and bitterness out of our children that nobody else can.
Right.
So we have that kind of influence. We have that kind of power. And it's our job not to provoke them to get to that place. And I think a lot of what we're seeing right now in our younger generations and in our older generation are signs of wrath.
Yeah.
The hate that's going on, the violence that's going on, the sexual activity that's going on, it's all because of wrath, and it traces back to fatherlessness.
Yeah.
When the fathers are not are absent in the homes, you tend to have more of those things go on because he's not present. And the woman may be doing the best that she can. Yeah. And shout out to those women who hold it down, because we know some women who are single mothers and they hold it down for their right. children. My sisters have done an excellent job raising their kids. My sister Tamika has done an excellent job raising her two boys. My sister Wanda has done an excellent job raising her kids, but everybody don't have that testimony.
Yeah.
And the reason why those kids are being trained so well is because although the fathers might not be in their lives on a consistent basis, they got some kind of fatherly presence in their life. Right. They got their granddaddy. Mm-hmm. They got their uncles.
Yeah.
Somebody's in their lives. And there's been times when me and Sheldon, you know, when they was younger, they don't do it now, but when they was younger, me and Sheldon would have to go and tighten them up or whatever like that. Right, you do whatever you got to do, because you don't want them to go astray. Mm-hmm. You don't want them to go the wrong direction or whatever like that. But it's so important for a male, especially these young boys, and I'm both young girls and young boys, because if they see you absent, they're gonna fall for a joker that's just like you.
Oh yeah, for sure.
If they see you acting that way, they're gonna try to be just like you. So you got to be a presence in your kid's life regardless of, and fatherlessness is such a big epidemic in society today. We can trace a lot of stuff that's going on right back to fatherlessness. Mm-hmm. Either two things. Either the father wasn't there, mm-hmm. or the father wasn't present in that child's life, where that child ended up getting violated and that father didn't step up.
Yeah.
I guarantee you a lot of problems that we got can get traced down to that. Either mm-hmm. absence or violation.
Yeah.
And we got to address this stuff, especially in our community. And yes, we love the white community, Caucasian community, the Hispanic community, the Asian community. We love all those communities, but we got to take care of home first.
Yeah.
We got to get back into these young guys' ears. We got to get back into these girls' ears.
Yeah,
that's why we're expanding our ministry to not just being here preaching to one another, because what does preaching to one another good? When we're continue to preaching to one another, but we're not using what we're preaching on the outside in our community.
Yeah, man.
And our young people are straying away. Our young people are on a rampage. Like I said, these are signs of wrath, and we got to go out there and we got to show the love of our father.
Yeah.
We got too many guys trying to be spiritual fathers,
mm-hmm.
and they ain't physical fathers.
Right. Yeah,
and even if you don't got kids, we got some people that's trying to be spiritual fathers, and you using that spiritual father title to manipulate and to use and to damage these that's young true. People, bro.
Yeah, man.
Because you ain't really their spiritual father. You trying to be their spiritual boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Man, right. You said that's true. Yeah,
it's
man.
True, bro. You
like,
right about
manipulation
it.
Manipulation is very like strong, and it need to be addressed, because you know like that as I've seen it happen before. Like you know you ain't got no father, but you know you trying to play like you a spiritual father, and you end up abusing that person, and they end up not doing what they need to do as a in the natural as well as the spiritual. So it's so important that you know you don't play that manipulation game with people. I just think that's just like crazy, like playing that manipulation game with people.
That's true. I would just say, especially when you hit that on that spiritual father turning into a spiritual boyfriend, that is listen. That is so true. Yeah, man.
It is.
That is so true. Like these old preachers be something else behind clothes.
Right.
I ain't got to talk about the young ones because everybody know the young, but the old ones that's supposed to be actually spiritual. Like, I mean, these young guys, they ain't even got the milk right around off their lip yet. So
right.
We ain't got to talk about them. But these older guys that can really be beneficial to the community, can really help them, they trying to stuff their pockets, stuff their cell phones with the numbers.
Right.
And, you know, half of the young girls, you know, man, you go to these bigger churches, half of the young girls, they don't talk to guys their age because they talking to pastor, assistant pastor,
right,
head of the deacon, head right of the treasury. And so they can't even make themselves available for an actual man that want to be with them because they're
being used. And we got a bunch of Mr. James in the pulpit. Yeah, y'all know who Mr. James is. Look him up on YouTube. And you'll explain, you'll see who Mr. James is. But you know, we criticize and we preach hard. The church is known to preach hard about these young men who are so flamboyant and who may be same sex attracted, but we don't call out the fact that the reason why some of them are the way that they are is because those in the pulpit made them that way.
Yeah, man.
It's with peanut butter.
We manipulated them to be that way. Yeah, we made them to be that way, and then we want to criticize and talk about them when we're the one that caused that damage. We're the one that made them have that mindset that's the only way that they could be loved because the person that they thought loved them did that to them.
Right.
And it's like, man, we got to call this junk out the table, bro. It's man, for us to strengthen each other, strengthen our community, we got to do it. And that's one thing God had placed on my heart last year. No, it might have been 2 years ago. Whenever Pastor R.J. Washington passed away, mm-hmm, at his funeral service, Bishop Virgil Jones had said, you know, he made this one comment when he was giving reflections on Pastor Washington. He said, you know, he was the foot soldier that became a general. And right, man, that thing echoed in me. It's like, man, he was a foot soldier who evolved into a general. And what we have now is a lot of guys that want to be generals when you hadn't did no time as a foot soldier.
Yeah, man.
So when the idea came to me about starting this initiative called the Foot Soldiers Initiative,
right,
that where we have grown older men who know the way, who can train these young men into how to be the generals that they will become.
Right.
Because a lot of us are jumping in and being generals, and we don't got no years in service. We don't know how to do nothing. We don't know how to change tires.
Yeah,
we don't know how to get the oil changed.
Yeah,
we don't pump gas.
Right.
Some of these guys are sitting in the car and they
in the passenger side
with the music turned up, drinking their drink.
Kills me.
And the woman is up there pumping gas. One thing I told Keisha, I said, unless I'm sick, you'll never have to change a tire, you'll never have to pump gas, and you'll never have to take the trash out. That's on me.
Right.
Unless I'm sick and I'm physically unable to do it, I'm going to make sure I get it done every single time. You ain't got to worry about doing that. But these guys don't do it because they weren't trained to do it.
Right.
Because here it is, because the fathers are absent,
mm-hmm,
they go to these single mothers that's doing everything for themselves for them, mm-hmm, and then they want a woman to do exactly what they mama did.
Yeah, that's true.
And we even living in a time where now the proposal of is now switching up. Like, the women are not proposing to the man.
This makes no sense.
You know, and it don't make no sense. It's like, where's the, like, you know, I had a conversation with someone. It was like, I think about proposing to this guy, and I was like, just shaking my head, like laughing, like, because like there's no order in it. Like, you know, I'm old fashioned, and you know, we all did it the same way. Like, you know, hey, we got down on our knees and we proposed to the woman. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't never the woman proposing to us, but you know, it got to that point where women are not proposing to men. Like, and you know, it just get worse and worse. Like, you know, as scripture says each generation get wickeder and wiser.
Yeah.
And it's just getting worse and worse.
But like, they know, not waiting. Yeah, these women ain't waiting or whatever like that. If he a piece of man.
Listen. Listen.
Man, it's just crazy, bro. It's like you can't settle for let God and this is the thing that I try to tell our women at our church. We try to get back to the Bible, biblical principles. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that you are a treasure. That's why you should hide yourself. Don't hide yourself because God is trying to control you.
Right.
You hide yourself because you realize that you're a treasure and that man is supposed to seek you out and find you because you're a favor from God.
Right.
And when I find you, not only do I have this woman, but I access favor right. upon my life. Mm-hmm. Man, without Keisha, man, I would not have some of this. I knew I wouldn't have majority of the things that I had, and God would have did most of the things that he's done in my life because she's the favor of God in my life.
Yeah, man.
And I have to take care of that favor. We have to cherish that favor. And that's why I try to tell the women in our ministry, hey, don't just give yourself to any and everybody.
Yeah.
Don't just think that your body is just for pleasure's sake. It's not just for that alone. It's to be adored and to be not to be worshiped, but to be cared for,
right.
As if we're supposed to love our women as Christ loved the church.
Right.
Meaning that we're supposed to lay it all on the line. We're supposed to be willing to die for them. Mm. And I wonder how many men, if there was a gun pointed at him and his significant other, would he say, kill me?
Yeah.
Or would he take off running and leave her behind to be shot?
Yeah.
We got to call this stuff out on the table because we got too many preachers performing and they're not performing at home.
Yeah, man.
I could tell y'all stories on top of stories because my wife, who works at the courthouse, and that's nobody's business who in particular I'm talking about. I'm not talking about nobody in particular, but I'm just talking about these stories that she'll come home to me and talk to me about how these situations are happening, how these children are being treated. I could care less about the two adults. Y'all got to get it together for that child.
Mm-hmm.
And to see these stories, Keisha come home brokenhearted because of the stories that are being told, because we're not stepping up as a community.
Right.
And that's what you see most of the time is in our community. It's in our Black community. And once we take care of ourselves, we can help take care of everybody else.
Right.
But we can't say Black Lives Matter and we're not talking about the Black lives that are being affected through our community.
Yeah, you're right, bro. You're right about that. That's for sure.
Yeah, man. So man, I don't mean to go out on a rant, but this is something that I'm really passionate about and a continual conversation that I want to have, you know, with different fathers and, you know, continue to have you guys and talk to other men. Like, I want to do a episode with Pops and just have him talk or whatever like that. All I gotta do is just give him a mic and let him just and let Pop roll or whatever like that. But you know, he just got a wealth of knowledge, man, that can help train us. And that Foot Soldiers Initiative, God had to show me that that's what it was about. It's about the fathers getting back to teaching and training and showing their sons how to become men again.
Right.
Because I thought it was gonna be about, you know, a pastor brotherhood type thing like that for us to set ourselves up to be the next generation that's going to step up in the church. But bump that, man. My family is my first ministry.
Right.
If I'm not being a pastor at home, I can't be a pastor at church. I got to be a pastor at home first. So we got to get back to the basics. We got to teach these young men and train these young girls to know their value. And we got to teach these young men how to care for the value and to respect the value of a woman and respect the value of themselves so that they can be more productive citizens in the world and in turn in the kingdom of God as well.
Yeah,
so
that's the order of God.
It is.
I mean, that's just like you say, you read the Bible, like that's just the order of God. Like after God, you know, God tells us to submit to God. Mm-hmm. So we have to submit to God. The wife submit to the husband, and then the children submit to the parents. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's the umbrella of how it's supposed to be, like God, man, wife, then children. But, you know, because we're not in place, you know, and we're not doing what we're supposed to do, like the order is it just got out of tag. You got messed up.
Wife, kids, stepdaddy.
Right.
Kinda here, daddy. Daddy not here. Right. You know, I do a lot of watching, especially when I be in the barbershop. And then, you know, how these guys be coming in, they come in, they had to, because I you know, y'all know who my barber is. And he pretty popular around the city of Jacksonville. And all these guys come in, they got the chains on, they got the Bugattis and all the other stuff, the red bottom shoes. And then when you ask them about their kids, you know, they don't know where the kids at. They ain't seen the kids in a few weeks. And a lot of these guys I grew up with, knowing these guys since elementary and middle and high school. And I'm like, bro, you wasn't like that, you know, when you was younger. But then I had to think, oh, your mama worked two jobs. Your daddy wasn't there, so your mama had to do this and do that. Right. And all you knew was either sports or the streets.
Right.
And sports gave you a little bit of discipline, so... But once the streets started talking and it brought the cash, you forgot about the sports and just went to the streets.
Right.
And so the streets gonna teach you is you on top. Don't matter who under you, but you on top.
Right.
And so a lot of these guys, they come in with the mentality, whatever I got to do to get mine, and they forget about you got seven kids at home with five different women,
right?
And you ain't taking care of none of them. Like, where is the sense that make? But you got three gold chains on, you drive a Challenger with rims and all that stuff. That don't mean anything when you're not being taken care of what you created.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, these are the things that we have to get better at, because a lot of these children are going to basically, these, especially the young boys, they're going to end up emulating these guys because they see the fast money, the this, the that, the clothes. Oh, I got all these they got all these women around me, all these women around them. And, you know, it got to be fun. But in reality,
it's miserable.
It's miserable.
It is. Because
now you just trying to find something that's going to fix the comfort, the fix the need, the fix the want that you have in your life. So
absolutely. Yeah. I think it all starts with us getting back to the principles. Getting back to teaching these men and showing them that, yeah, that look like it looks like a glamorous life, but that's just the image. And those images ain't gonna keep you, because, you know, that's a small percentage of those that made it. And those who didn't make it are either dead or in prison.
Yeah, man.
And we gotta get back to spitting these real facts to this generation and giving them options. And letting them know that there are different options and different opportunities for y'all to choose to become better productive citizens in life. So, man, I'm really passionate about this, and I really thank you, fellas, for joining me on this episode. You know, we talked about being a father and our fatherly examples, and then what we need to do in our community. And I'm really going to jump on that Foot Soldiers initiative, and I know that you. I hope that you guys will be a part of that we are, you know, help training these young men, because, you know, we could talk about what they don't do all day long, but we got to end up getting in their ear and showing them how to rebound from doing what they're doing. You can criticize all day, and criticism can become redundant that they end up tuning you out. But if I'm showing you as well as telling you, they can say, man, not only is he a man of his word, but he's a man of action too. We got too many men of word. Yeah. We got a lot of men trying to tell people what they need to do.
Yeah, man.
And we got a lot of people telling them what they should do or what they would do. And when they do what you told them to do, you end up turning on them.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't telling you something I heard. I'm telling you what I know.
Well,
I know, but that's another way for another day, in the words of Marvin Winans. But we're going to just keep it focused on the fatherhood, man. I want to tell y'all guys, I'm proud of y'all. A happy early Father's Day to y'all. And, man, thank y'all for being fathers in your children's lives, because I definitely would not hang around guys who are not good fathers. I told Keisha one time before, I was like, we might not be all that as men to these women, but we some good fathers. I'm just joking. I was joking with her. I might not be the best man to you, but I'm a good father. They can't deny that. Nah, but you know, even in the way I love my wife is an example of my girls and how they gonna let somebody else love them. So once again, man, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate you fellas for just being with me for this episode. And I hope you all have enjoyed this episode of Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. I want to say a happy early Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Thank you for the impact you have made in our lives and in our community, and continue to push. And if you're not a father in your children's life, now is a great time to start being a father, step by step. And as you go along and improve your relationship with your children, it'll get better day by day. But we got to start in our home, start in our community, and things will improve from there. All right. Yeah, I appreciate y'all guys again. Thank y'all again. Thank y'all for listening to Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. I'll see you next week for another episode of Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. Till next week. Peace out. Peace.